This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You're what? You're a what?
I'm a wee guy.
He's a wee guy, ladies and gentlemen.
Because the Wii was an amazing gaming system back in the day.
It really was.
Unfortunately, I mean, when things stopped working, it just disappeared. Wii bowling was amazing.
I'm not going to lie. I was real good at Wii Mario Kart. Like appreciate the talent good at Wii Mario Kart. Unbelievably good at Wii Mario Kart.
They may still have some tournaments. I mean, you know, we can find you a Wii. You can enter a tournament. You can.
I also haven't played Wii Mario Kart in a very long time. Like a very long time. Like a real long time.
That sounds like something someone old would say.
Oh, for sure it is. For sure it is. Ladies and gentlemen, hour number two with the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back. Great to have you. Rob the Great Melazzo with you here on a lovely upstate Thursday morning. Going to let you know we got a busy show coming up over the next few hours. At 8 a.m., 1:58 minutes from right now. Not 1 hour and just regular 58 minutes from now. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News is going to join us on the phone. She'll talk a little Gamecock football. I'll ask her if I'm being overzealous in my, according to Lonzo, great pessimism.
I look forward to your wordsmith and the way you word it in a way to where she can only answer the question in a positive way that makes you look a certain light because you are skilled in that way or nefarious, depending on how you look at it.
What if I told you that I'm just right sometimes? Shocking, I know.
I've been around you a lot. I don't know if that's true.
I know ball. At 8:40... Rashad Beard will join us here on the program to talk Carolina Panther football. And at 9 o'clock, straight up on the dot, Hayton asked Mario from the BetQL Network. Mario Heron going to join us to talk a little NFL football as we head towards second quarter of the season. So make sure you're here for those three interviews. Lulu Kessin at 8, Rashad Beard at 8:40, and Hayton asked Mario at 9. But it is 7:03 in the morning. You have 56 minutes and 40 seconds before you've got to clock in and lock in at the office. And here's the game plan. You're going to do like a solid 11 to 12 minutes of work. And then you're going to get up and you're going to push your chair in real gentle. And you're going to walk down the hall, tiptoe creep down the hall to avoid being detected by the person who signs your paychecks, because you want to sneak off into the break room and talk sports. And it's your right as an American to do just that. But see, if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Welcome back. The water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this Thursday. I'm going to say Monday morning. What? It feels like a Monday morning. Thursday morning.
You're making it a Monday morning with all your negativity.
It's not negativity. It's reality. Sorry. Welcome to it.
You need a Monstar jersey on, not a Toon Squad.
I bought one. It's not here yet. But when I said yesterday I was rocking the Space Jam jersey, the Toon Squad jersey today, immediately was like, I got to get a Monstar jersey next. Obviously. Got to get a Monstar
jersey. We'll see if it's opposite day when he wears that. Maybe he'll come in and everything will be sunshine and rainbows.
Gamecocks, you're so good. You're so good. You had a little stumble. Don't you worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. Gamecocks 72, Crimson Tide 3 coming up on Saturday. Man, everything's amazing.
If that comes to pass, I'll be coming in Monday going, see, I told you I was positive and I predicted the score exactly.
What's the line on that game? Let's see what the spread on that game is. Take a stab. Set that line. Lonzo, Alabama favored by how many points?
14.
Stab in the dark. 14? I will be stunned. Stunned if it's less than 20 and a half.
He's looking at it now.
I'm looking it up right now.
When he said that, yeah.
Let's see. No, I don't have it up yet. You can see the reflection of my glasses.
Why?
I'm not there yet.
Why don't you Google faster?
Well, I'm
must
just
be those old arthritic fingers.
What did I say? 20 and a half?
I don't pay attention to the show.
21 and a half. Alabama favored by 21 and a half. And I'll be honest.
Wow, I was off by a touchdown and a half.
They're covering the spread. I was off by a point. Mm-hmm. Because you know why? Because I'm realistic. There's no one more neutral than Vegas.
Because you have a national show about betting, so you should be good at it.
Because I'm realistic. I'm not going to blow smoke. You're okay. Three-tutty dog in this one. Three-tutty dog, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, don't be shocked if by Saturday that's at 22 and a half, if that goes worse for you. We'll come back to that here in just a minute, because I do want to talk a little bit more about that. But!
Hey, shout out to Mike. I'm doing my job, yo.
We're going to come to that, too. Item number one. Major League Baseball playoffs underway. Had all four series in action yesterday. We opened it up with the Detroit Tigers, a 3-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians. Detroit Rock City now holds on to a 2-1 lead over the Cleveland Guardians in this one. Detroit last night rolled out Keeter Montero as their starter. He went just one inning, no hits, no runs, no Ks, no strikeouts. Got three off the base pass. They then turned around and went to Herter, 3.1 innings, five hits, one K, one walk, but no runs allowed. And then four more pitchers would come out from anywhere from one batter to two innings. And none of them gave up a run at all. In fact, as a whole, they gave up only six hits to Detroit. Here's the interesting thing. Cleveland only gave up five hits to the Tigers. None of them home runs. Didn't matter. Small ball, small quantity baseball out of the Tigers. They now hold a 2-1 lead. Jazz Chisholm of the New York Yankees took a little heat because he said before game three with the Kansas City Royals that he believed they were the better team, that the Royals got lucky. That's a direct quote to win game number two. They backed it up. Yankees 3-2 winners over the Royals to take a 2-1 lead in the American League Divisional Series. On that side, last night, Clark Schmidt went 4.2 for the Yankees, gave up four hits, and the only two earned runs on the night. Seth Lugo got sent out to the bump for the Royals. Their ace, five innings, two hits, two earned runs. The last one would be given up in the sixth inning by middle reliever Angel Zerpa for the Kansas City Royals. The Royals on the night, six hit. The Yankees had only four. However, one of them was a big Giancarlo Stanton dinger in the eighth that separated these two teams, and the Yankees never look back. They are up 2-1 over on the National League side. The Dodgers and the Padres right now are just an old-fashioned heel-v-heel rivalry, and it is a blast to watch. At least it was last night until the Dodgers got an 8-0 dominating win over the Padres yesterday. Dylan Cease went to the bump for the Padres, lasted just 1.2 innings. The strikeout king had only one K, gave up four hits and three earned runs before they would turn the baseball over to Brian Horning. He came in, got through just two batters, surrendered a pair of earned runs in the process. The Dodgers last night had a dozen hits, including home runs from Mookie Betts, Will Smith, and Gavin Lux. And that was the difference in this one. And then the only series that has reached its conclusion. The New York Mets eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies last night. Yet more heartbreak for Philly. 4-1, the Metropolitans get the W last night. Jose Quintana went to the bump for New York, went through five innings, gave up just two hits and one run unearned. K'd six in the process. On the flip side, Ranger Suarez gave up five hits, but it was Hoffman and Estevez who gave up the majority of the runs last night. The OMG Mets are in an absolute heater right now, and just continue to win, baby, win. They have punched their ticket to the National League Championship Series, where they will await the winner of game number five back in L.A. between the Dodgers and the Padres. The two American League games will go today. 6:08 first pitch for the Guardians and the Tigers. 8:08 first pitch for the Yankees and the Royals. We have game five of the NLDS between San Diego and LA on Friday, and then we will conclude our American League Championship Series. If we get to a game five, that will be on Saturday, if necessary, between Detroit and Cleveland and Kansas City and New York. Let's go to item number two. We talked about this very briefly yesterday. I'm not going to get super back deep into it today, but I do think it is an interesting story. The NCAA Division I Council has approved the termination of the National Letter of Intent program, a program that has been in place since 1964. The NLI program existed as the formal binding agreement between prospective athletes and college programs. It has been in place for the past 60 years. The NLI will be replaced by a new financial aid agreement that will provide many of the same core functions as the NLI, but will likely be tied to whatever the future of the college agreements between athletes and schools looks like. They're not putting anything down onto paper yet, because those antitrust lawsuits have to determine what the new rules are going to be. And once those new rules are determined, whatever program is going to replace the National Letter of Intent program will take over at that point. We do know some of the framework. For instance, transfer athletes will be allowed to sign with the new school after they formally enter the portal. Per the NCAA, once a prospect has signed a written offer of athletic aid, other schools will immediately be prohibited from recruiting communications with those players. That is to say, once a player has signed on the dotted line out of the portal, and so therefore, I would imagine the same will be true for high school recruits. Once a player has signed on the dotted line, other schools may no longer contact that athlete. I'm interested to see how much of that bleeds over into the high school recruiting game once the antitrust lawsuits are concluded. Let's go to item number three. I told you yesterday at the end of the show that I needed you to be following the Greenville Triumph's social media last night. Massive announcement yesterday. An incredible announcement yesterday. Even if you are soccer adjacent, if you're a fringe soccer fan on the outskirts looking in, if you've been in that position for any length of time, you are very aware of the name Ronaldinho, household name for those of you that grew up watching soccer in the 90s. Ronaldinho is a Brazilian footballer and one of the best to ever take the pitch. The man is up there in terms of both talent, accomplishments, achievements, etc. The man's up there with the Ronaldos. He's up there with the Messis. The dude is one of the best to ever put on a kit, strap up the boots, and take to the pitch. And he is now a part owner of our Greenville Triumph. The global soccer icon has joined the ownership group of the Greenville Triumph and the Greenville Liberty. The team announced that last night. Ronaldinho went to the New York Stock Exchange yesterday, and there is a dope picture of Ronaldinho along with his brother and business partners rocking the Greenville Triumph scarf and holding up the GVL jersey at the New York Stock Exchange as an official owner of the team. Ronaldinho said that one of the reasons he decided to join the ownership group is an acknowledgement of and a desire to assist in the growth of the game at the local level in the United States, which means that, as I have been telling you, since I moved here nearly 5 years ago, Greenville is doing it as good, if not better, than anybody else. Greenville, when I've told this story 100 times, I'll tell it one more now because it's appropriate. When I came up here for my audition in February of 2020, I stayed in an Airbnb over on Stone Street, downtown, Stone Avenue, probably, downtown. I walked in, I walked upstairs, I dropped my bag with every intention of getting out, heading downtown. And when I did, and I walked into the kitchen of the Airbnb, right there on the fridge was a Greenville Triumph magnet. And I said, oh, what's this? And I looked it up and I went, oh, we got a professional footy team. Cool. And then I went downtown and I saw magnets and flags and a shop and everything. It was incredible. This team has done a wonderful job of growing the game in the upstate, both their own brand and soccer as a whole. And would you look at that? As I've said, I don't care if you don't like it at all. The Carolinas are soccer country. It's not just the Triumph, the Charleston Battery, the Charlotte Independence. It's Charlotte FC. It's your two-time NCAA men's soccer national champions, the Clemson Tigers. Soccer is grown in the upstate, and I credit a lot of that to the half a decade of excellence of the Greenville Triumph, and now what they have to show with it is a relationship, a partnership with one of the greatest soccer players in the history of the planet. Man, Ronaldinho, now directly associated with Your My Our Greenville Triumph. That is, when I say incredible, I don't know how else you want me to describe it. Last night at the New York Stock Exchange, the closing bell rang by Ronaldinho with the Greenville Triumph logo on one side, the Greenville Liberty logo on the other, firmly established high above the NYSE. I don't know. I think that's pretty damn cool, to be honest with you. Joe Irwin, the owner of the Triumph, and Doug Irwin, the CBO of the Triumph, will join us tomorrow at 8:40 a.m. to discuss how this partnership came about, their conversation with Ronaldinho and his business partners. What a dope moment, if you will allow me to say what the kids say, for the soccer program and for the game here in the upstate of South Carolina. When we come back here in just moments from now, I ask this question.
You can only say making my way downtown that many times without me.
Oh, it's the right call. And I'm homebound.
Sorry, stream, you can't hear it.
Standing back in you. What a banger. What a banger. Now, and now, you know, we got to flow with the next part. You know why? Because I miss you. Oh, it's need you out of the gate.
You probably should go to break your butcher in it.
And now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time would pass us by? No, me by. No, I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you. Win. Thank you. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I would like to have a brief conversation about the philosophy of the show, at least from my perspective. There are three entities that have control over what happens on the show. And I say this, and I mean this from the depths of my icy, icy heart. The reason that I love this place and that I love the people I work for is because I have, and I mean this, never had editorial control of the show taken away from me. Never. Not in the 4.5 years coming up on 5 I've been here, I have never been told to talk more of or talk less of. They trust us to do the show. There are three entities that have control over what happens on the airwaves of this program. Entity number one is me. Entity number 1A is Lonzo. And entity number 2 is you, the Armada. Okay? This is why I say the phone line's open, 844-326-3663. That's the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. The text line's open, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-M, or read them on the air. And the Ray Memorial Hotline is open by going to the Odyssey app, going to the Fan Upstate page, clicking the microphone button, and leaving us a 60-second voice note on the Ray Memorial Hotline. There are three entities that control what goes on the air. You guys, Lonzo, and me. Okay? But as the philosophy of the show goes, let me tell you how I attack my 33 1/3% of what goes on the air. It is not my job to tell you how fun, special, amazing, and awesome your team is. Now, I will celebrate your team when it is time for a celebrate good times, come on moment. But it is my job, in my ever so humble, ball-knowing opinion, it is my job to talk about what's wrong. Okay? You talk about what's wrong. Why do you talk about what's wrong? Because talking about what's wrong is the only way to fix what is wrong. If all you do is dial in on what is right and what is going well, you know what happens? You get complacent. Things get stale. You stay right where you are. You can't get better if you're only talking. You can't get better if you're on, Lonzo's on the phone. If you're only talking about what's good. Okay, if you're talking about what's bad, you can fix what's bad.
The fact that you heard me say you're really loud.
I really did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's
fine. I am. It don't hurt my feelings.
I will tell you this. You could not screen a call while you're talking.
I'm not saying I could have. To me, if I come in here, and listen, South Carolina fans, you're hearing from Rob Brown what it is that's gotten Rob Brown hating on Clemson message boards for years. See, because for a number of years there, Los Tigres were the cream of the crop. Yeah. They were on top. And when you're on top, people tell you how amazing and wonderful and spectacular you are. And then they came down off the mountaintop. They didn't tumble into the gutter, but they weren't where they are. And so Rob Brown jumps on the air and he goes, hey, I think this is bad, and I think this is bad, and I think this is wrong, and I think this needs to get better. Consider me a consultant. I said, these things are the bad things. And see, what happened is Clemson fans for so long were so used to having everybody talk about how amazing they were that Rob Brown shows up here on the Fan Upstate and he says, here's what's wrong with your program. If you want to get better, fix these things. And now I go on Clemson message boards and hear about how I hate the program. I hate Dabo. Here's the fun thing. I've never said anything wrong about, or excuse me, I've never seen anything mean, rude, negative about Dabo. In fact, quite the opposite. I've said, I don't care what other people around the country think about Dabo. I only care about what he does for the program. I've said a number of times that I've interacted with Dabo a number of times since I got here, and he has never been anything but gracious to me, never been anything but kind to me. ACC Media Days, they had to cut the interview short. I only got like 6 minutes with him. And when they told me, hey, we're real sorry, we got to cut it short, and he stood up, he took off his headset, I took off mine, he reached across the table, and he said, I'm very sorry about that. You know how many coaches I've interviewed over the years? You know what they do? They stand up, they take the headsets off, they leave. They just walk away. Not him. He took a second to shake my hand and apologize that he had to cut the interview short and take off. Never said anything wrong. All I've said is, here's what's wrong with the program. Now I'm doing it to the Gamecocks. You know why? Because much like a parent to a child.
I just had a thought. I love to interrupt. I'm not going to say that I hate to interrupt. I love to interrupt. Now we know why Florida State wouldn't do interviews.
Because why? Because I have a litany of what's wrong with your team?
No. Remember, they wouldn't do interviews with any what they consider teams in the stations in the Clemson
area.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't the reason.
No, I think that was the reason. They knew they were going to get busted up for it.
No. See, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about them. Maybe they knew how bad they were.
Oh, they absolutely.
And so they just didn't want to talk to anybody.
Maybe. What I am talking about, and Creed, I see you on the line. I'm coming to you in just a minute. I'm getting somebody named Creed on the show. When I look at the program for South Carolina.
Because of Creed Humphrey, the best center in all of football.
I was going with Creed from The Office.
Apollo Creed.
With a Holmes wide. Okay, that's enough of that. Let me finish this thought so we can get Creed in here before the break. When I talk about the Gamecock program, am I negative? No, I'm realistic. There's a difference. See, what happens is a lot of people who only want to deal with the positive and talk about the good things, what they can't do is get better. I'm not saying never focus on the positive. I'm saying if you only focus on the positive, you can't get better. It's already good. You can't make it better by working on the positive. To get better, you got to work on what's wrong. And I believe with the money and the resources and the commitment and the fan passion that this program has, there is no excuse for it to be a middling SEC program for as long as it has been a middling SEC program. I'm sorry. You deserve better, and you've got every capability of being better. But in order to get there, you can't still be making the same mistakes like having an undisciplined football program. A football program that has a bye week coming into a massive SEC game that would put you on the map. And I'm not saying win the damn thing, but at least show up, please. And you didn't. So the philosophy of the show for me is, yeah, I'm going to address what's wrong because that's what's got to be fixed if you want to get better. Let's find out if Creed agrees. Hanging on the phone line to talk, Shane Beamer. Creed, welcome to the show, big dog. Good to have you.
Hey, the correct answer is Apollo Creed.
Beautiful.
I was two things. One, I'm wondering about which Carolina team will show up because Kentucky and LSU, they really looked that good. They were better than LSU. They just were. They look great.
Sure.
And obviously, in Mississippi and Old Dominion, they're not nothing. I don't know. It's like Jekyll and Hyde a little bit. But the one I wanted to talk about was, I wonder if sometimes with head coaches, I don't blame players for making bad decisions at all because they're in the game. They're breathing hard. It's a lot going on. Coaches that make a horrible decision, I blame more. I didn't mind the 4th-and-1 fake field goal. If he makes it, he's a hero. That's not what got me. What got me was he's supposed to have an analytical guy whispering in his ear about things. They had a sack where they lost 7 yards. You know, Gamecocks sacked them 7 yards. It took a holding to make it first and 20 instead of second. That would baffle me.
Yep.
How do you have an analytics guy right beside you and you do something so blatantly dumb?
Here's my thing, Creed. I agree with you entirely. I shouldn't have a head coach who needs an analytics guy to tell you that 2nd and 17 is fine. Pass on 1st and 20 for side. I think Shane's a smart guy. I think Shane's a smart guy. We've talked to him. We've interviewed him multiple times. Good guy. I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows these things. But in that moment, like, I'm not mad. I'm with you. I'm not mad about the fake kicks. I wasn't mad about the fake punt in the first quarter. That's one of those that if that converts and you pick up the first down, yeah, we're all talking about what a genius he is and how Beamer Ball is going to save the program, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
I'm not upset about that. I am upset about a team that is continuing to make disciplinary mistakes on this side of it, and I am upset about some of the other decisions. And it's not just the holding call that should have been second and 17 instead of first and 20, yada, yada, yada. It's also the fact that it's very clear 3.5 quarters deep that the run game can't get going against Ole Miss, but you've got a quarterback who is versatile, roll the pocket left and right, uncork him a little bit, and it's like they just kept not just kept running the ball, Creek, because fine, whatever. It's the same running plays over and over. Like, you're running the same thing that they are kicking your ass. What are we doing?
Yeah, and that's true, too. I don't know. It's not the same team that played Kentucky, because the team that played Kentucky was really and same way with LSU. It's not the same team. I agree. A lot of it is the mistake. Don't get me wrong, but it was some mindset or something. If the team shows up against Alabama, they will dogfight them. If it's this last team, they'll lose by 38.
Yep. I agree. And again, I'll tell you this, Creed, appreciate the phone call, man. Great to have you. Hope to hear from you more often, pal. Welcome to the Armada. I will tell you this. I can say the same thing about Alabama. If the Alabama that showed up against Georgia shows up against South Carolina, they'll beat the South Carolina that showed up against LSU by 20 points. If the Alabama that showed up against Georgia shows up against the Alabama that played Ole Miss, you're losing by 45. If the Alabama that played Vandy shows up against the South Carolina that showed up against Kentucky and LSU, maybe we got a shot at a ball game there. Maybe. Here's what I know. Win, lose, draw. I just want to see a team that's disciplined. You're already outgunned. Outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, outplanned. That's Hamilton, because I'm cultured. The only way you can win in that spot, we're going straight up George Washington from Hamilton, is you must be remarkably disciplined and you must cause chaos with the game plan. That's how you win. That's how you win. If you don't have those two things together on Saturday, I'm out for the season. We'll talk more about it coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The award-winning Rob Brown Show continues on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Alonzo, with you. Texter writes, the show says, Rob, big Clemson fan here, and I've been listening to the show for all 4 years. I've got no issue with constructive criticism towards Clemson. The best part about this show is that it has no structure. I mean that in a good way. You have topics, but allow those topics to grow into random conversations. Yeah. Another texter says, Rob, what's the biggest roadblock preventing South Carolina from being consistently good? We've seen what they're capable of, yet they can look like they've never played football before. That is my complaint right now. The entire South Carolina program, to me, feels like a South Carolina program that is consistently taking two steps forward and then two steps back.
One bad game, dude. I mean, if you want to go back to last year, yes. But if we're just talking about this year, one game, they took a step back. All the other ones, they were moving forward, even when a backup quarterback was in there. I just, one bad game. And until they have two bad games, I'm going to say one bad game.
So again,
me doing this, and I hate that.
I see that. That's the most animated you've been in 3.5 years. We
you should have seen me on that other show.
We disagree on the Old Dominion game. We don't have to rehash the argument because we're just never going to find common ground there, and that's fine. But it's a couple of bad games. Again, ODU was week one, all right? It was week one with a brand-new starting quarterback. I didn't expect greatness in week one, all right? I just didn't. Even against a mid-tier Old Dominion team, I didn't expect greatness. And it's not that they lost the game. That's how they lost the game. I've said that a bunch of times. The constructive criticism, and I am going to say constructive criticism because I do think it is constructive criticism. Because again, me saying I think that Bama's going to hammer the Gamecocks is not negative. All right? It's just not. Again, I some of you don't care about this, and that's okay. There is not a group of people who give a damn less about your team than the people in Las Vegas, Nevada, who set the totals on the books. They care about one thing, nailing that number. That's it. They don't care about South Carolina. They don't care about Alabama or Ohio State or Texas or Old Dominion or anybody else. They care about getting that number right. So when I said, I think Alabama's winning this game by 20 or better, and then we go look at the number, and the number's 21.5, all it tells me is I'm spot on. I'm spot on. And it's not that South Carolina's bad, because as that texter has pointed out, as Creed pointed out, as Zai pointed out, as Lonzo has pointed out, as we've all pointed out so far this morning, this team against Kentucky looked like a wagon. This team against LSU looked like a wagon and should have won that football game. This team should have one loss right now. But we're talking about a two-loss team. And even then, you could go, wait a minute, why are we so down on a two-loss football team right now? There's two losses. Why are we so down on a two-loss football team? I'm down on a two-loss football team because of loss number two.
In this case, it's you.
No, I mean, it's more than just me. It's Vegas, too. And again, there's not a, there is not, it is not possible to be more neutral than Las Vegas, Nevada, than the sports bookers. It's not more possible to be more neutral between any two teams, anywhere at any time, than Vegas is. So it ain't just me, it's Las Vegas too. So why am I saying I think this game gets out of hand on Saturday? Partially because the Alabama loss to Vandy is an anomaly. It's an anomaly. It is the outlier of the outliers. There's results, there's outliers, and then there's App State, Michigan, and Vandy, Alabama. There's a reason we will be talking about that win for 100 years. That is the greatest win in the history of Vanderbilt football. We will be talking about it for a century. Why? Because it's the outlier of outliers. That's why. No other reason. This Alabama team is still very good. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're not as good as I thought that they were. Maybe I was wrong. I picked this team to be a national. In fact, my national championship this year was Alabama versus Oregon. And I'm not off that bandwagon yet. We're going to find out what the Ducks are made of when they host Ohio State this weekend. And we got to talk about that game because that's a big one. I'm still in on Alabama, Oregon is my natty prediction. Because I'm not wrong yet. Although that Vandy loss kind of threw it into turmoil, just like a loss to Ohio State would do the same for Oregon. But the reason I'm concerned is this Bama team's still really good. And now they're really good and ticked off. Do they have some of the same problems as South Carolina? You're gosh darn right they do. It is not the disciplined team that it was when Nick Saban was there. I've never said that it would be. What I've said is the talent is still very there. They've got a head coach that, while the philosophy is completely counter to Nick Saban, the track record of success, I mean, it ain't the same as Nick Saban, obviously. That guy's the GOAT. I would argue if we were having the conversation about GOATs, Nick Saban is the illustration of what it means to be the GOAT. I mean, the illustration of it. It's like him, Wooten, Lombardi. I don't even know if I don't even think Lombardi's the GOAT anymore.
You're just going with that because his name's on a trophy. But out of time, no, I agree. If you're going to say greatest of all time so far,
Saban
for sure.
I would even go so far as to argue with you. With Saban, I don't think we'll ever see another one.
We might not.
I don't think we'll ever see another one.
Let me say this: I won't.
God, dude.
You might.
God.
Well, I mean, you know, how long was he coaching?
It is my job to be shockingly morbid, not yours.
How long was he coaching?
A very long time.
Yeah, it was like 30, 40 years, something
a very
like
long
that.
Time.
Dude, I mean, let's be real here.
Jeez,
if,
man.
I do make it that long, I'm not going to have any idea what football is, probably. So, I mean, yeah.
We will probably never see another Saban. Lonzo's never going to see another Saban, according to Lonzo. Golly. The point here is, yes, Kalen DeBoer's philosophy and approach to football is inherently counter to Nick Saban's. But as we had the conversation about last week, remember last week we had the talk where Baker Mayfield said, they brought me here. They brought me here to be the guy that brings joy and a spark of fun to this game. And Brady took that real personally on the color, right? He's like, oh, if I wanted to have fun, I'd go to Disney World with my kids. This isn't a daycare. Yeah, well, realistically, any philosophy can be a successful philosophy if you execute and are disciplined. You can have the most fun, happy, happy, joy, dance in the locker room with the funny shades coach in the history of football. If he's got a good game plan and good discipline and his team believes in him and is disciplined, they can win. Or you can have the most military drill instructor, R. Lee Ermey impersonator coach in the world. If his team believes in him and his team is disciplined, that can win. Different strokes for different folks. There is no, in nothing you talk about, there is no philosophy that's better than the other philosophy, provided those philosophies are both believed in and disciplined. The problem I have with South Carolina is that Shane's been here for 3.5 seasons now, and it's still a program that at least in spurts shows a lack of discipline and a lack of game plan. To me, the criticisms about Shane being unwilling to make the tough decisions surrounding his coordinators and the people who put the game plan together, they are now justified criticisms. I've defended them, but they are now justifiable criticisms. And if that's where you are after 3.5 years, that is a different reality than a coach who's been there for half of a preseason and 5 games. If this was Shane's first year, I'd be rushing to his defense and going, hey, man, these guys on the roster ain't his guys. This is why we always used to say a coach gets 3 seasons to prove himself. 2 to fill up the program with his recruits and 1 to prove that the philosophy has taken and worked. With a few exceptions, Deion Sanders at Colorado, he didn't get 3 years. Why? Because he came in and he cleared out the old roster and he made the roster his from the rip. That's on Deion from year number 1. Granted, year 2 looks a hell of a lot better than year 1 did.
Yeah, because you haven't been talking about him.
I ain't said a word about him in a hot minute.
That means they're doing okay.
In a hot minute. Remember, I took them, I think I took them at under 4.5 wins this year. And they're at what? They're at 3 already, or are they at 4 already? I don't remember. They're 4 already. They're 4-1. They are 1 win away from surpassing their over. Now, in fairness, they got Kansas State. That's a top 25 team. Arizona is a borderline. Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. Competition gets a lot tougher for Deion on the way up. But the point is, Deion, because he filled up his locker room with his guys from the rip, he brought his luggage, and it's Louis, baby. Deion didn't get the grace period. Shane did. Shane had to come in and not just clean out the Muschamp guys, but he had to come in and clean out the Muschamp guys and all of the negativity that was in that locker and that was in that program left over from that. So I gave him not just leniency, but like a few years. And we're clear, this isn't me calling for the man's job. Not at all is this me calling for the man's job. Quite the opposite. I think the folks who were calling for a midseason firing of Shane Beamer are very, very overreactionary. And as one great American philosopher might say, relax. It ain't that bad. What I am saying is that Ole Miss loss took wind out of the sails, not because they lost. And let's for the sake of the conversation, Lonzo's right. They had a bad game. There's a difference between you had a bad game because your players played poorly, which happens to every football team, and you had a bad game because you were undisciplined and because your game plan sucked. And that's what happened in this game to me. You were undisciplined and your game plan sucked. And if that's what happens, that is 100% on the coaching. Texas said, Rob, with portal turnover, a coach rarely has his guys like they used to. Discipline will invariably suffer. Again, and we're going to talk about this coming up in a few minutes in the audio blitz, because Dave Clawson, the head coach at Wake Forest, Clemson's opponent this week, Dave Clawson defended Dabo Swinney and his usage or lack thereof of the transfer portal. And I got to tell you, I think the attitude about the portal is shifting amongst coaches right now. I really think usage of the portal is about to decrease dramatically. I think a lot of people, remember what I said, there's two extremes. There's Dabo on this end, and there's Norvell in the on the other end. And the best way to use the portal is likely somewhere between Dabo on this end and Norvell on this end. But I think the balance of where that should be is shifting back towards
you,
the Dabo
you
end.
You can't go anywhere if you don't have anywhere to go. So if,
for sure,
if they stop accepting so many portal players, then not as many people will go in the portal.
Just like portal, just like players have the right to, the ability to, the opportunity to utilize the portal, schools have the right to and the ability to utilize or not use the portal as well. So if you think that the major disciplinary issues at South Carolina are because there's so many portal guys in there, then do me a favor. Stop using it. Stop using it. Recruit your homegrown talent, build guys in the locker room that you drill discipline into, and you instill that constant performance and behavior into.
You do notice that narrative about Dabo has stopped. People have shut up because suddenly Clemson is playing a little bit like what they used to, and now no one's saying it anymore.
Yep.
And that was national, and it was everywhere, how Dabo needs to get with the program, and all. Now they're not saying a word.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. And in fact, I would go one step further, Alonzo. Not only are you spot on, in fact, I'd say the opposite. I think people are starting to go anti-portal. Why? Mike Norvell, the Noles, and a lot of other transfer teams that are just not good this year. So, again, if you think that the problem for Shane Owen and the Gamecocks is that they got a bunch of guys out of the portal, which, I mean, they got an average number of guys out of the portal, but if you think that is the problem, then I would encourage you to encourage Shane to stop using the portal and just build within like Dabo's doing. We'll find out. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News joins us next. Rashad Beard at 8:40. Hayden has Mario at 9. Fight Club at 9:20. Sports Flash now.
That was awesome. That was a great transition. Way to go, you. Just... The New Orleans Saints will start former South Carolina Gamecock Spencer Rattler this Sunday when they take on Tampa Bay. After an MRI confirmed quarterback Derek Carr suffered an oblique injury, Rattler, who was drafted in the fifth round by the Saints, makes his debut after beating out Jake Haener. The Las Vegas Raiders are making a quarterback change, benching week one starter Gardner Minshew in favor of Aiden O'Connell. Yeah, Aiden O'Connell, who started a number of games last year. Minshew has been benched twice so far this season, including in the loss to the Carolina Panthers, which are busting out the black helmets. They look really sweet. They really do. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Gaffney to take on the Indians. It's Burns versus Gaffney right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. Exclusively, it is The Fan Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.